We're learning how to access God, and he's very systematic about what he's doing, and he's very patient. He's not moving us hastily. God doesn't want us to move in haste because this is a very important position we have, and he's teaching us how to enter. It's kind of amazing today. I got my little nano iPod working today. So I was just listening to all these worship songs, and I thought, well, I'll just go in because I'm listening to all these worship. I'll just go into that place like that. And the Lord said, I don't want you going in like that. I said, why not? He goes, not that you can't. He goes, I just don't want you to. He goes, because I'm developing the pathway of my word. He goes, when you go in by my word, it's predominantly your spirit that's apprehending that position by the word of God. He goes, many times if you try to go in by feeling, you're going to get your soul involved. And he goes, and sometimes your soul can get too involved. You'll depend on that operation. I know because I did it for many years. He goes, but I want you to go in by the word because that's your safety. Because when you go in by the word, you always land in the right place. The spiritual realm is a very large realm. There's many dimensions of the spiritual realm, and there's demonic realms that don't feel demonic when you're in them. Do you understand that? The devil doesn't appear as an angel of light for no reason at all. He approaches, he has powers, and they know how to allure, and they know how to move, and they know how to allure your soul, draw your soul. They know how to apprehend that part of you, see. Your soul, if you're used to moving by feeling all the time, which we are because we're soulless beings too, we're born in that realm, we look for that, see, and they can come like that, and without very high levels of discernment, they'll approach you in areas, and they don't come demonic like you would think demonically. They are demonic, but they don't come like that. You think sometimes that's an angel. They can produce atmospheres. You got to understand that. But when you go through the word of God, that is God's way, that's 100% the Holy Spirit's going to lead you directly where you need to be. Amen? Now, it's very important that we understand why we're approaching these realms with God. We're not approaching these realms just so we can have a party. That's not what it's all about, you know, just so we can feel good. We're approaching these realms because that's the place where all fruit from the kingdom is going to be born. I mean the big time fruit, the stuff that everyone's looking for. It's the fruit that abides in him. When he said abide in me, he meant abide where I am. You got to come to where I am. And he's teaching us how to come in to the right hand or come in to the bosom of the Father, come into that realm and the very nature of that realm. It's not of this world. And so you're going to have to employ parts of you that you're not accustomed to employing. It's easy to touch in this world because you're used to it. It's easy to communicate in this world because you're used to it. In that world, until we get accustomed to it, it's a little more difficult. But there is one part of us that causes us to move into that dimension. That's our faith. Now, your faith can apprehend by desire alone. Do you understand that? It can apprehend by feeling and desire. If you reach hard enough, just feeling and desire, you can grab a hold of realms. But I want to go by the word. And the word paints a most perfect picture, a most perfect image, and it forges it. And it's through the compass of that image that the word produces, your faith grabs. And somebody asked me the other day, say, well, how does this work? How do you actually do that? Well, I'll tell you, I used to go in by worship a lot. That was a good thing, but it was always the feeling first, see. I didn't know I was there until my feeling showed up and told me I was. That's not a bad way to go. I'm not discounting that. But a lot of times is, you ever got a song, you move through songs? You ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? That song will just get you there, and it's like, oh, and you do it the next day, and it gets you there, and then after a while, that song can't deliver you. You're riding the song said, come on, come on, come on. And that song won't get you in, see. You want that same, and it won't work. Then you go look for another song. Find me something else, get me in, you know. I got to get in there. Everybody wants in there. I'm there. Anybody in there that's drank from that place that don't want to go back. What he wants you to do, I'll tell you a way that you can go in every time. It doesn't grow old. It's new every morning. And that's riding in through his word, walking in by his word, walking into perfect fellowship in him and in through his word. That one will never wear out. You'll never wear that out. That's a song that will not wear out. Do you understand what I'm saying? To do that, you have to know what the word says first. It's not enough just to read the word. You've got to know what that means. It's the revelation contained in it that opens the door. And we found out in the book of John, John is still, in my opinion, by far the greatest doorway of all. In fact, he becomes the door in John chapter 10. He says, you'll come in and out. Say in and out. I want to show you that. Go to John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John chapter 10, verse 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold climbeth up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. He basically said, look, I am the only qualified door to the Father. I came from the bosom of the Father. I'm returning to the bosom, but I'm going to come a doorway for you. And if you try to find a doorway outside of me, it's futile. He says, everyone that comes outside of me is a thief and a robber. They don't have the capacity to open the door to the Father. They can open a door to the spiritual realm, but they can't open it to the Father. Do you understand that? He said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Actually, he's talking to him about what he's been saying all along since chapter 7, and he's going to lead him out. He says, you're going to have to follow me. He goes, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. He said, if you'll follow me, you can be with me where I am. He goes, where you're at right now as a priesthood's not going to cut it. He goes, you're going to have to change. He goes, because I'm introducing a new one. I'm coming, and now through the word of oath, the Father speaking through me, the Son. He goes, right now you're a servant in my house, but the Son's going to abide forever, not the servant. He goes, well, if you'll follow the Son will set you free. And you'll know the truth, and truth will set you free. You can follow me. I'm going to be that door by which you're going to come into the Father, because my mission was not just to come and save you. Salvation was the entrance. My mission was to get you into the bosom of the Father. Every one of us are going to be delivered into that bosom once we get to heaven, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted us to go there now. All of the glory, all of the power, all of the wisdom, and really all of the love is in the Father. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a hard saying for some of you to understand. There's only so much you're going to get of God with a mentality of come down. Father, come down. Father, visit me. Come. Fall upon me. You're only going to get so much of God like that. The church is only going to get so much of God like that. God does come down. Don't misunderstand me. And he's going to come down, but there's a way to get it released. He wants the mentality of come up, come up, come up. He came to deliver you into the Father. Okay? He's telling them, you'll follow me, and where I am, there shall you be also. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Look at this. He leadeth them out. Verse 3, you need to see this. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. What's he leading them out of? Sin. The world system translated out of darkness into the marvelous light. He goes, I'm going to lead you out of the world system that was dominating you by the law of sin and death, and I'm going to lead you into the bosom of the Father. He's saying that right here. That's good stuff right there. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Notice that when he putteth forth his own sheep, he gets them through the gate. Look at that. You see that? He says, I'm going to lead you out. I translate you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He goes, now that you're through the door, and that's where most people camp out. Oh, I'm saved. Let's pitch a tent right there at the gate. And then he says, okay, I got you through the gate. Then he goes before him. No, Lord, you don't have to go anywhere. We'll just pitch a tent right here. And a lot of times in many places, they'll pitch a tent there all their life. It's all your boy. You'll know a whole lot about that gate. Because you don't go any further. You live in place for a long time. You'll get to know a lot about it. But that wasn't his mission, just to get you through the gate. The mission was to get you into the bosom of the Father. And we put it forth, his own sheep. He leads them out of the world system. You're born again. You get through the gate. Now watch what he does. Notice this. Then he goes before them. Look at that. Notice how he didn't camp there and pitch a tent and build his kingdom at that gate. That's not where his kingdom is built right there. You see that? And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them and the sheep follow him. Wow, what do you think they're following him now? Because this gate right here is not an earthly gate. They're not following him on the earth right here. This is not somewhere he says, go to Africa. That's not the kind of leadership he's talking about right here. This is something going on in the heavenlies. Wow. You mean I can follow you? Where's that gate? Is this a natural gate or a spiritual gate? If it's a spiritual gate, do you have access? Do you have the right to walk through it? He gets you through the gate. He turns around. He goes in front of you. Where's he going now? Obviously, you're following him. Where are you following him if that's a spiritual gate? What part are you following him? Your spirit's following him. How are you following him? Through the leadership of the word. Send forth thy light and thy truth. They will lead me. See, he leads you by his truth. Thy word is a lamp under my feet. Oh, I see that. Take a step. And a lamp under my feet and a light to my... Oh, take another step. Oh, take another step. How do I know? How did we find the right hand of the Father? By a whole lot of tribulation, a whole lot of hunger, and we stumbled in. We found it in the Word, though. My God, we would have been circling around that mountain for a long time. But now that we found the right hand, we can hone in on it, see? You hone in by the Word. See, you're honing in by the Word says. He says, when the putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him. Wow! You're following him in a place that's not of this earth. Where do you think he's taking you? He's taking you to John 17. He's taking you to the place of glory, what he called his glory. He's going to sit you down where he sits. Oh, man. You can't find that in the natural. You can't find it with your natural senses. You're going to have to learn to employ your spiritual sensory mechanisms of faith. Amen. He thought a whole lot about it. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger they'll not follow. I wish he wouldn't have put that in there. I said, Lord, they're following a lot of strangers. I know, we pastor, we see them following a lot of strangers. Those strangers, they're not your next door neighbor. Those strangers are elements, spiritual elements that attach themselves to get you to move out of a soulish operation, follow some kind of operation where you'll beat the air all your life, but you'll never really arrive where God wanted you to arrive. For they know not the voice of strangers. Say that. That's me. I know not the voice of the strange. I don't want that strange voice. I don't want strange fire. I'm going to stick right in here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Hebrews, especially John, Ephesians. Boy, there's so many gates there. Why do you need to go any further? If you want to go into the right hand of the Father, there's enough in John. There's enough in Hebrews and enough in Ephesians and Colossians to keep you happy for this lifetime. I can assure you. I'm going to show you how to access that gate tonight. Thus, this parable spake Jesus unto them. They understood not the things which he spake unto them. They didn't understand half the things he said, and they followed him around for 3.5 years. His disciples didn't understand it. And you can imagine where the people were, you know, but they sure liked what was flowing out of him. Oh, I don't mind what he says. Half the stuff he says, we don't know, understand it. But he said it for a reason. Amen. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. If he's a door, I mean, you know, I'm pretty quick. A door, you walk through. It gets you from one place to another. If you don't go through the door, you'll run into a wall. And you can beat up against the wall all you want, but you still can't get through. You just have a lot of headaches. Just going the wrong way. Amen. See, all these doors are in the spirit. What gives you light to walk in that place is the word. How are you going to find that place? You have to get light. It's the word that causes you to walk. It gives you the light. Otherwise, you're going to walk according to your light. Walk according to your understanding, and there'll be a big hole there. And because we don't have the light, we just step off into that hole. You ever been there? We generally know that we ran into a hole after the fact. I think I missed it. Whatever gave you that idea. You know, it's a funny thing. I've done this. I know. I've moved out of my soul many times. Just thought it was God 100%. Couldn't have convinced me it wasn't. Well, you really get in trouble when you do it financially. And you just know God told you to do it. And you jump off in there and Mammon will oblige you. Come to my table. And here Mammon will spread a table before you and promise all this stuff to you. And you start eating from that table, and then Mammon will close in on you. And when it does, you'll get in all kind of trouble. You'll be howling, saying, God, why did you do this? He didn't. You were led completely by the soul. Now, here's the thing about it. I've seen this happen. It's happened to me. I've seen it happen to a lot of people. Now, listen, if you don't come clean with that type of leadership and admit the fact you missed it, if you don't do that, you'll keep doing it because you'll start justifying your leadership. And what will happen is you will protect the very part of you that God's trying to tear down, which is that soulless operation. Because far be it for me that I could ever have moved out of my soul. I just know that I know that I know it was God. Well, if it was God, you wouldn't end up in a prison. And I'm not talking about natural prison, a spiritual prison. You wouldn't have ended up bankrupt. You know, you wouldn't have ended up like that or whatever the leadership did, because God doesn't lead into those paths. So you have to repent. And more importantly, you got to say, God, you got to get that out of me. Remember, Abraham had two sons, you know. He had Isaac and Ishmael. You have the capacity to birth both in your life. Don't think you don't. We all have that capacity, and God has to systematically purge that one son out. He doesn't like to leave very easily. He likes it a lot. You know what I mean? So it's the word that Isaac responds to, the part of you that God wants to apprehend. It's the word that leads you. And so what you do in situations like that is you got to stop for a while. You got to get still. And you got to let the Holy Spirit lead you into truth, see. And the truth will begin to illuminate things. And then your pathway will start getting brighter again. You'll go down the right path. All right? Then said Jesus unto them, verse 7, verily I say unto you, I am the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but my sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Oh, listen to what he says here, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, look at that, enter in, not sit still at the gate of salvation, come through the door, enter in. See that? How do you enter in? Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the new and living way consecrated through the veil of his flesh. Let us draw near. Now watch this. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And don't you thank God he put the and in there? Shall go in and out. Everyone say in and out. In and out. Go into the kingdom through the door. Go back out, back into where you live, into the kingdom, into the right hand, blessed with all spiritual blessing in the right hand, being filled, my cup runneth over, turn around, go back out into and release it into the world. Turn around, go back in, and turn around and release it back out. All that happens in him. He's in you. So the doorway's in you. You get connected through the doorway in you by the word. Otherwise, you'll start looking for somebody in there. You get in trouble if you start looking for somebody in there. If that's not defined by the word, your soul will be obliged. Somebody will come along. Any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Find pasture. All my pastures are in the high places. So he lifteth you into the mountain of God and feedeth you with the increase of the fields there. Boy, we're going to have to learn to get in there. Here's the thing about this place. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. You ever wonder what that scripture means? That position he purchased for you will suffer violence. The enemy will fight it. You know why? Because he's fighting your capacity hard. Because he knows the place Jesus delivered you was far above his kingdom and far above his ruling domain. The only way that he could stop you is launch a violent campaign against your faith. And anything he can do to discourage you, he will. He'll hit people next to you. He'll do anything. He'll make your head spin, some of the things he does. Your head will spin around and say, my God, is this world that crazy? He will try to disappoint you. He'll try to disappoint your faith. Anything to get you to back off. That position suffers the violence. You're going to have that same kind of violent tenacity. Take it. Lay hold of it with tenacious faith and force. If you don't, you won't stay there. Everyone say amen. For the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I think I just said that, didn't I? Wasn't I just saying that? He'll come. What's he trying to steal, kill, and destroy? Your entrance and access. More importantly, he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy, because everything you are is sitting in the right hand. Everything, your full inheritance is in the right hand. There remaineth the rest to the people of God. Beware lest the promise of entering into his rest be left to us of entering his rest. Any of us should seem to come short of it. What is his rest? Labor therefore to enter into his rest. For he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own labors. What is his rest? His rest is described in Hebrews chapter 10. I come to do thy will, O God. You know, he had to get up. He sat down on the seventh day of creation. He finished it, created the garden for man. He sat down in the cool, and God walked with man in the cool of a day. And when man fell, God had to get back up. And he says, Father, I come to do thy will. He got up and came a man, altered his state for all eternity, became a man. He got up from his position of rest to finish the work one more time. And when he went back, he came in as a man. He says, I come to do thy will, O Father. This time I am the lamb that's slain from the foundation of the world. For by one offering I will forever perfect those that are sanctified. For by one offering I'll forever perfect them and deliver them back into the garden again, God. I'll deliver them back into the ability to eat from the tree of life again. I'll deliver them back in. And so he did. That one sacrifice offered himself by the new and living way, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Five times it mentioned in Hebrews, he sat down at the right hand. That's his rest. He's resting again. It is finished. He finished the work. He's resting. He says, now there's a promise. For if the land of Canaan would have been the rest, God would not have spoken of another day, but God has spoken of another day. And he says, now there's a promise of us being left of us to enter into his rest, where he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. We have a promise to enter back into that place of rest. There's another garden, and the tree of life is there, and we have access to enter back into. Isn't that awesome? That's his rest. He sat down. Now the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy all that. He tried to destroy the garden in the beginning. He's trying to destroy now your access to the garden because he's cut off. He can't go there. His Father seated him far above the principalities and the powers, far above the prince of the power of the air's domain, seated him above it. He can't get there. See, Solomon understood this. He understood it. Wisdom's house said she's seated in the highest place of the city. But then he spoke about the harlot's domain, and she was also in the high places. Y'all see something really cool? Go to Proverbs chapter 9 for a minute. Now, I'm sharing this with you for a reason. Because if you'll meditate this long enough to get it in you, it becomes imagery. Why do you think Jesus spoke in parables? He spoke in parables to sow the image within you, because you don't think in words, you think in images. And it's that image that your faith latches onto. That's why the enemy wants to bring an image to you of circumstance. Ever wonder why he comes and he runs a video through your head of you're going to fail? And he comes hard at you. They don't like you, you know, that kind of thing. You'll never amount to anything. Any kind of thing he can do. Runs an image. He's trying to run it through this country right now and break this country's spirit. He's trying to break that spirit on this country. So we accept and then move into darkness, see, and just, you know, become dependent. He wants us dependent on his system. See, he's trying to force us in dependency into a system. Well, the, you know, the government will provide for you. You know, just lose that spirit of capitalism and things that made you so awesome as a country. And he's trying to force that in, see. He's forcing it on every angle just to get you to accept it and getting the words to line up, see. Everything, you know. Just trying to, whatever he can do, just tax you to no end. Whatever he can do to get you under so you accept. And when we accept the system, we accept the image. And as a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. I'm not going to go there. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9. This week you got a fight. You got war imposed against you. You lay down, the enemy will just hammer you. More importantly, he's not trying to get you have a bad day. He's trying to sow a new image in you. Each time you lay down, he wants to put something new in you. He wants to sow that image of hopelessness, discouragement, despair. It'll never work. It'll never happen. What's the use? Why even go to church, you know? I've tried all that stuff. See, he's wanting you to accept that where he can mold you for life. Those are chains and bars of iron, my friend. It's that kind of thing. Now, you know, you can grab different things in the word, but what I'm wanting to grab is that image of that right hand. See, I want that word of the right hand, because there's something about the right hand of God that gets you that no other thing, no other revelation in all my years of walking with the Lord can do what the right hand can, because it can get you above. For the first time, you can get above that. You can soar above, and there's so much he says. As you meditate upon it, it begins to form this full, complete picture of Christ in you and who you are in him, and you see it. And if it's strong in you, and the enemy's not allowed to steal it, your faith can grab it. And as your faith grabs what your heart is full of, you move into that place, see. And that's how you move in the spirit. That's how you move through the word. You know, that's one of the things he didn't want me to do in songs. He just flat told me. Now, I'm not telling you not to do that, because I did that for years. He said, I don't want you moving through songs. He goes, I'm not developing that part of you, because I know how that works, see. You're moving through feelings, see. You go through that feeling, and you get dependent on that. But see, what happens is it's that move through the feeling and not the sight. I'm moving through the word. He didn't want me to move through the feeling, because then I'm looking for the feeling. Something else can grab me, see. You'd be amazed. I'll tell you a story. My spiritual father, he got so caught up in God. Dave, I mean, he just lived caught up. One day he's so caught up, he heard angels singing. And they started singing. And they sang constantly. He said they were singing so much, I just got used to them singing. And he goes, this is the most unusual thing. And he goes, there was an atmosphere that came in while they were singing. And knowing Dave, he's just like this. He said one day, after 2 weeks of this, he said, I'm going to test this. So he asked him, he said, all right, I have a request. Now, these were audibly voices singing, and This doesn't happen to Dave very often because he's just right online. You know, he didn't get too far to the right or left. And he said, I have a request. I want you to sing I Fell Into a Burning Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. That's what he asked. He wanted to know if this was real. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down. Are you ready for this? They started singing that song. Same voice, same atmosphere. Yeah. From that day, as soon as he rejected that, they stopped singing. That was a power trying to attach himself to him. Which don't know much about that. You just see the fruit of it when you start seeing people get squirrely and crazy. And what happens is when that happens, people want to draw out, say, man, I don't want to be like that. I'm just going to stick right here in a nice, comfortable place. Problem is, that's not where power lives. Power and glory lives in the heavenlies. Wisdom lives in the heavenlies. I bless you with all spiritual blessings in your heavenly place. And we have to learn to access. We have to learn to access it right. Today, he was like, no, I don't want you going that route right now. I'm teaching you another way. He goes, my word's plenty for you right now. I said, yeah, you're right. And so what happens is the way I do it, I actually put this really soft music and I get real quiet. And I'll take the word, and sometime I'll read John, like 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Then I'll read it again. I have all these high place scriptures, anything I can have. Sometimes I can just quiet, and I can walk right through in quietness. Other times, I'll confess my way in through the high place, but I'm using the word and the image of that word, and I see the right hand of the Father. That image has been forged by the word of God. That image has been forged by what God has said about it. Okay? And I see that within because it's meditated. See, you have light. The Holy Spirit, He paints that on the canvas of your spirit. See? He paints that image. That's why it's important to understand the books you're reading, not just read them because you got your quiet time in. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want to do that. You've got to move in through the word. And God has a lot to say about moving through his word. And so as you meditate it, that word becomes light. It becomes a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. And that's how you access that realm by faith. If your heart's not full of that, you're going to try to access and you'll get denied. Not God's not denying. Your faith just can't reach in. You're not used to it as something new. And another thing, don't get discouraged because it don't happen to you the first time. You know, Carlene gave a testimony the other day that she'd been hearing this message. And she goes, I know, God, this is where you're taking us. And Chuck was in there and they prayed and they walked through it. And they were at the altar of the morning and she went right in. She had visions. I very rarely see visions other than what's formed by the word. I don't have angels come up and talk to me. I don't mind if they do, but that doesn't happen with me very much. It might happen in the future. I don't care if they do or not, really. I'm just looking to get seated with him, see. All right? But he walked her through. She had incredible. She broke through that door, and I asked her a question. I said, you have a lot of confidence now, don't you? She says, yes, I think I can do this again because you understand how the gate works. Now, it's like the cow at a new gate. If he comes there and he stops and says, no, I don't know about this gate. He didn't learn to go through it. Every time he gets that gate, he'll stop. Once you learn to walk through and you press on, then it becomes normal and natural. And you're safe because you're moving through the word. The Holy Spirit is in charge of the word. The word will never drop you into the second heaven. You want to write that down. When you move through the word, you'll never drop down into the second heaven. So what does that mean? Well, Paul talks about being caught up in the third heaven. The right hand of the Father is definitely in the third heaven. There's different levels to the third heaven where he was caught up out of body. It's different than moving in your spirit, see. If there's a third heaven, then there's got to be a first heaven and a second heaven. The first heaven is the realm that we live in here, earth realm. Okay. Second heaven is demonic realm. Principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness, spoken of in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians, where the devil is the prince of the power of the air. prince of the power of a heavenly region, that second heaven, he would be more than happy to have you caught up there. We must learn to access and be a heavenly people. Amen. Now, Solomon understood this. Believe it or not, his whole kingdom was built on this. He understood this very, very well. And this is how he accessed what he got. I'm going to show you how natural this can be. Go to John 3 for one moment. Just hold your fingers in Proverbs 9. John 3. Now, all these scriptures are meant to produce an image within you, a pathway, a door that your faith will access. Once you ever make it to the bosom of the Father, oh man, it'll so transform you. You'll never be the same. You won't drink from the cup of this world system and be happy anymore. Not after you drink from the bosom of the Father. The bosom means the heart. You go in there, you drink of his love, and you try to drink from this world again, you're done. It'll never, never, ever satisfy you again. John 3. Verse 12, Nicodemus was struggling with what Jesus just told him about being born again. He said, if I've told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You see where the church is? You start talking about heaven and people go, what? Huh? He says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Some of your Bible translations will not have that last verse in there. Son of Man in heaven. While he's talking to Nicodemus, he's standing in heaven. That's how natural it's going to have to be for us to be effective in the last days and retain the fullness of God. You're going to have to be standing there. I don't get caught up every day, but I was caught up the other day pretty good. I come out of there. It was such a deep, resonating, rich glory. There's so many realms of it up there that you come back here and you're going, oh my God, it's so foreign. And I called somebody on the phone. I was wanting to see how they were doing. It was actually Joanne, because she had broken her shoulder. And I just came out of it enough to just talk. And I started talking about it. I went right back in. And I'm telling you the truth. I was walking in the academy looking at fishing lures. And when I started talking, I got caught up. And when I got caught up, I was more there than I was in academy. And that glory instantaneously transferred into her office at River Oaks. That glory, she goes, oh, my God. And she sat down. But she goes, it filled the room. That came right out of the right hand of the Father. You are then a carrier of the right hand of the glory of that place. You become a carrier of that realm. When you access it, you'll get so filled. And when the church begins to access it, whoosh, you're talking about heaven coming down. He's coming down through your access of coming up. And when that stuff comes down, things will start happening. Right now, if rooms can fill up, when the glory gets strong enough, that presence gets so heavy, the sickness and disease won't be able to stand. Devils scream because they can't sit and stand in that presence anymore. Sickness and disease, it starts happening because the atmosphere gets so charged with pure life. Anything's dead will start living right in the middle of that atmosphere. It'll just turn to life. And what'll happen, the river of Ezekiel will go overhead, see, and it released into the Dead Sea of humanity, and everything that's dead will live. But it's not until the church comes into the right hand that this is going to happen. We need to be very calm about this. Very patient. Don't get discouraged. And don't underestimate the enemy. I've seen him do things in the last 2 or 3 weeks. The funny thing is, the more I'm up there, the less it affects me. I'm like, shoe fly, shoe. The power of that place is so intense that no matter what he's doing to you and around you, you can go up in there and he will just transform you. You walk out of there. I said, I feel guilty of feeling this good about what just happened. I shouldn't be feeling this good. It's amazing. this imagery helps you a whole lot. Solomon understood the governing realms of heaven. He called them houses. Wisdom's house, the harlot's house, domains, kingdoms, governments. All right, and I'm going to show you something. He understood this so clearly. He understood where wisdom was. He understood where the harlot. He marked the world systems by the harlot. And he marked wisdom as God's domain. He understood wisdom as this proverbial woman. He saw wisdom as a woman. He saw this domain, this ruling domain. But I want you to see the imagery of what he saw. Proverbs 8, verse 1. He just got through with Proverbs 7 describing the harlot's domain in detail. He starts describing wisdom's. He says, "Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top." Say, in the top. He understood where her government was. He understood how to approach the government, the kingdom. He understood how to go in. And even when they watched him ascend into the glory, he knew how to ascend in the glory. The Queen of Sheba, they lost it when she saw him. When she saw him ascend into the glory, she just lost it. She said, "I have no more spirit left in me." How do you look at that? He understood how to ascend up into that. See, because he saw it that way. That's what wisdom predominantly gave him in everything that he wrote about, experiences, a businessman, preacher, king, poet, you name it, lover. I mean, it all just whoosh. He was a sanctified lover for a while. But after, 300 wives and 700 concubines, I would imagine he got a little bit off. Baby, I'm a one woman man, just so you know. Does not wisdom cry? She standeth in the top of high places. High places. See that? Now go to Proverbs 9. Watch this. Make sure you see this. Make sure you underline it. Make sure you circle it. Look at verse 1. Wisdom's builded her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars. She killed her beasts, mingled her wine. She's furnished her table, sent forth her maidens, crieth in the highest place of the city. She's got a banquet table. Well, that's imagery. You see that banquet table and you head for it. You see that? You head for it. Now notice where she is. She already told you where she is. She's in the top of the high places. That's very important because there's somebody else in the high places too. Now watch this. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Verse 4. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Do you see that? Look at verse 16. Look at verse 4 one more time. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. Look at verse 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. Except there's two different women saying and calling and issuing an invitation. Don't even think the harlot's not issuing you an invitation. She's not going to offer you a demonic being with horns on his head and a big wart on his nose. No, no, no. This realm, they're very pretty. The allure. Joanne had a visitation at one of those a month ago, right before she had that accident. He had golden hair. He was above 6 foot tall. He had golden skin. He was standing at the wall of her house. Beautiful blonde hair. Golden bronze skin, and he stood there, these beautiful clothing. She said, "He looked like an angel until I saw his countenance." He was angry at her, and he had his arms folded, and he had a scowl on his face, looking straight down at her. That was a visitation of a principality. We don't know very much about those guys. Now watch this. Wisdom's calling, verse 4, "Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I've mingled," verse 5, "forsake the foolish and live." All right? Where is she at? Look at verse 3. "She sent forth her maiden. She crieth upon the highest," say highest, "places of the city." Highest. All right. Let's see where the other woman's at. Verse 13. "The foolish woman," the one talked about in Proverbs 7, "is clamorous. She's simple and knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house," her kingdom, her domain, "on a seat in the high places of the city." You see that? One of them's the highest. One of them is the high. Solomon understood the difference. See that? Both of them are issuing you the exact same invitation. one of them sits higher. Without the imagery of the word, you might get caught in the wrong one. That's why we go through the word. Amen. So you go through the word. The foolish woman's clamorous, she's simple, knoweth nothing. She sitteth on the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers to go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let her turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she's saying, look at what she offers. Verse 17, wisdom's offering in verse 5, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I've mingled. Look at what she offers. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. See that? She'll offer you bread and drink too. Now, you compare that with Ephesians government, where you are seated far above in the highest places with wisdom, and you compare the harlot's domain to the prince of the power of the air. Now, all that meditational imagery right there is what gets sown in you. If you'll meditate that and meditate, that gets in you. And when it gets in you, you'll meditate. You get quiet or you speak it and you move through that word. I come to your table, wisdom. You sit in the highest place. How do you know she sits? Because the word gave you the light where she's at. And you get that light and you move through that light. And you won't wind up in the wrong house. Amen. Drinking the wrong thing. Eating the wrong bread. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the door that we can go in and out, find pasture, for all our pastures are in the high places. Father, thank you for your word and opening the gates to those that are hungry. Father, we're going to access these realms. We're going to visit our God in the land of the living. Father, we give you the glory for helping us access. Help them access, Father. Please don't let us live below. Please don't let us live below, Father. The highest places of the city, seated, have been raised together, made to sit together. I pray, Father, they be with me where I am, that where I am at the right hand, there they may be also. Father, amen.